Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Well, I'm excited today on Finishing Well because I'm guessing that this show is going to be glorious because we're going to be talking a little bit about Ephesians 1:8. And interestingly, I've been teaching this verse to my special needs class at Calvary Baptist Church. So, and it's an interesting thing to teach an inheritance for these people. But having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that's Ephesians 1:8, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so I'm sure that as you think about that verse, I know as I think about that verse, wow, Jesus has a mansion lined up for me. He has something that's going to blow my mind. I mean, I won't even be able to fathom what all he has for me. And it's interesting, throughout the Bible, you see this word inheritance. Paul uses it in Ephesians and in Galatians and time again, this inheritance. And it was used, obviously, in the Old Testament when they were, you know, given their property as an inheritance. And so it's a very biblical thing that a father, as they begin to think about their estate, they want their children to feel like they have a glorious, I mean, if we're going to be godlike, would be to want our children to have a glorious inheritance versus are they going to be like, man, I can't believe they stuck me with all this stuff and they didn't work it out and I've got to do all this stuff. And are they remembering your estate or is this, you know, like what you do echoes into eternity? That this is how they remember you, as being burdened by the work of your death, or are they going to remember you as man, it was a glorious inheritance. And it may not have anything to do with the money, but just the way that other things work out, but money's part of it.
Well, it is. And in the modern world, what we're talking about here is the transfer of property and wealth, and that's achieved many times through life insurance.
Right. And you know, we've gone through these numbers before, and it just kind of occurs to me that, wow, I really, really want to think about this. You know, you think that, or I would think, you know, I'm going to make, you know, so-and-so my executor. What an honor. But now I've just put them in the catbird seat to take on lots of responsibility and maybe have to deal with their brothers and sisters and all the drama. And, you know, how are they compensated for that?
Well, yeah. So I just want to read something that I sent to Robbie this morning, getting ready for our discussion before the show. And I just said, you know, we are to look after our family remaining on earth after we die. I mean, that's just kind of a simple, blunt way to put it, what I get out of reading a scripture. And then while we're on earth here, we listen to the consumer activists in the media, and we fear getting cheated by a life insurance company. So we go without life insurance. And then specifically, it's real easy to go without life insurance in retirement, which is who this show is for. We're saying, okay, so I bought term insurance, I had insurance at work, or I didn't buy insurance, and I've beat the system because I've made it here to retirement. My kids are grown, my house is paid for. What do I need life insurance for? And so it's kind of an easy thing to fall into. But I say, as I say in my book and in teaching on this stuff, I'm going to recommend in retirement $25,000 worth of life insurance as a minimum.
Yeah, and I remember the first show I did with you, and you threw that number out there. And I went, what? How could I possibly need that? But as you begin to go through those numbers inside there, I went, oh, wow. Yeah, well, that's absolutely the case.
Well, let's just do that. In Module 6 of the workbook, which you can download it at cardinalguide.com. You can go to the life insurance tab and you can download the life insurance chapter or the life insurance module for free and read it. And you can even play back a recording of this show if you just go to Finishing Well on there, or you find it on iTunes. But anyhow, we want to get you the information. But I just kind of lay it out there, and maybe you want to go over these numbers, Robbie, that are on the top of page 88.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, what he considered to be the bare minimum funeral, $10,000. So, and, you know, something I hadn't really thought of because I hadn't lived through many funerals, but attorney's fees for the estate settlement. And, oh, by the way, what I've learned since I first heard that was that there's a thing called probate, and probate takes time, and attorneys take time and effort and phone calls and all this other stuff, but just what you're going to have to pay the attorneys for that probate and all that stuff, he estimates $2,000. It could be a whole lot more than that, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah, if it's a large estate. But just as a minimum, to get an attorney to do that, it's going to cost you some dough.
And then the other thing I think is really neat in your list is the executor, $1,000 for the family member, whatever, that has to take the time to figure out how all this stuff is going to work out. I mean, just think how much time and effort, but how wonderful, I think, a glorious thing that they, look, there's a compensation for you specifically in this for taking on this responsibility.
Yeah, and that's, again, for a very small estate. I mean, I can think of some estates where two executors were paid $45,000 each, and they worked at this almost like a part-time job for a year with the assistance of the attorneys. It was just things they had to do. They had liability. They had to buy insurance. So just as a minimum, $1,000 just thrown in there that ought to be there for the person taking care of even a small estate.
So then, and this one is definitely huge when you really begin to look inside of it, is you got income that has stopped, a Social Security check and those kind of things. 6 to 12 months income replacement, that's another $12,000. So those come to $25,000, but that 6 to 12 month income replacement is huge, especially when you've got a surviving spouse, right?
Well, yeah, that's where I have the 6 months. I mean, just if you talk to a lot of these people when there's a death of the person, maybe they've just bought a policy that all it pays for is burial. Maybe they have nothing. Maybe they're fortunate enough to have some sizable life insurance. But what happens is the smaller Social Security check goes away. So there's guaranteed a reduction of household income, and there has to be an adjustment period. So I'm just thinking out of a small life insurance policy, you're going to have an additional $12,000 that's sent to the surviving spouse. If there's no surviving spouse, and you might say, well, what do they need anything for? I'm telling you, the bills don't stop when somebody dies. And we were thinking in terms of, you know, a family member of yours that the house is paid for, there is no surviving spouse. But if you inherit the house, or maybe you haven't even figured that out, is you are going to have to pay the water bill, and you're going to have to pay the property taxes, and you're going to have to pay the insurance bill, and you're going to have expenses. And any of you that have had a remaining parent that was just the surviving one of them pass away, you know that there's household bills to be paid for a period of time. This is what I'm talking about for here. Is it?
And that's the beauty of life insurance versus some other part of the estate. Is because if the estate goes through probate, you could be months.
Well, you got to go down there and ask them for it and prove all this kind of stuff. If you got a $25,000 life insurance policy, this money is going to come to the named beneficiary. It's in your name. You can spend it as you wish, and you can just spend it. You can pay the funeral bill. You can pay the attorney. They usually want a retainer as soon as they handle something. You can pay the executor. And the money is just there in your account to distribute as you see fit to replace that absent income now and just pay the household bills. You don't even have to go to the attorney in the estate to ask for it while it's being settled.
Yeah, and actually prior to ever doing my first show with you, Hans, I didn't realize you could get life insurance at 75 or 80 or 85 or if you're on dialysis. But it's clearly available for everybody in these terms, especially with that amount, because there's a need for it.
Well, I wrote this workbook to be practical so that somebody can read the workbook, they can read the original Cardinal Guide, and they can leave there saying, okay, I want an example of this. And I have several people call me up after reading this from all over the country, and they say, you know, I'm interested. What's that policy behind? Because I don't name specific policies. This is not a policy sales job. It's just to give an example. All these rates are female, so just know that the men are going to be a little bit more. And I show an example of a female age 55 and a female age 70. So if you're between 55 and 70, you're going to just, it's going to be somewhere between these two rates. If you're short of 55, it's going to be less than this rate. If you're more than 70, just know we can write life insurance policies through age 89.
There you
go. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, it's necessary. So the insurance companies have figured out, you know, how that works and what they need to do. But it's certainly not unaffordable, and it certainly is something that would be really necessary for those left behind.
Well, and if you have somebody in, you know, even poor health, not extreme poor health, but just poor health, or somewhere between poor and medium health, and they're 87 years old, 88 years old, they've got a life expectancy of quite a few years, and the life insurance company knows that. Some of them are going to be gone in a year or two, and they're going to have to pay off on those people. And some of them are going to live to 100, and they're going to make some money on those people. But it's still a risk that you didn't know, and a lot of our listeners just didn't know, when you're right at retirement or you're in retirement, that you can still buy life insurance.
Right.
So let's get into our examples a little bit.
Well, first we want to remind them that they're listening to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. And, you know, this whole show is kind of based on his book, The Complete Cardinal Guide for Planning for and
it's
Living
Complete
in
Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement.
And which he can say so much better than me.
It's on Amazon.
It's on. And for listening, all you have to do is go to the website, cardinalguide.com. And he will, if you contact Hans, he'll send you the book for free. You've got this chapter on life insurance and these examples, the exact amounts, and all there right there under the 7 Worries tab under life insurance.
You send me an email, I'll send you the book for free, or a message on the website. If you don't want to say who you are and you want to remain anonymous and you want to buy the book on Amazon, you can get it through our website, cardinalguide.com. Go for it. It's just $1.99 on the Kindle each book. If you want to get the book for free or part of the book, you can just download it from the proper tab on the website. Absolutely free. We put it all up there. We want to get you the information and the learning.
Right. And so we're going to get into these examples in a minute, right on the other side of the break. But before we do that, you told me something as we were talking about this show, that obviously you work with a lot of well-to-do people, some very wealthy people, and you can find something in common that would kind of indicate they don't think they're getting ripped off by life insurance.
Yeah, most of them have large amounts of life insurance. It just, bankers, people that are money savvy, people that own businesses, people that have accumulated wealth, landowners, typically have large amounts of life insurance on both spouses. So that's just an observation that I've made, and it really speaks to the true value of life insurance. They wouldn't have it if it wasn't good.
Right, and they're concerned about their, specifically in their inheritance, and, you know, sort of their estate, the, you know, part of what they left behind that hopefully, you know, their heirs would use to build the kingdom with. So when we get back, we're going to be talking about glorious inheritance, which obviously is building the kingdom, and we don't want to lose sight of that. So stay tuned. So much more coming up.
We hope you are enjoying Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of previous shows, including episodes about Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, plus the accompanying workbook. If you want to follow along with today's topic, download free PDFs at CardinalGuide.com by going to the 7 Worries tab of today's show topic, just scroll down to Useful Documents. Once again, for free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, or the workbook, go to cardinalguide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on Finishing Well Radio Show and send us a word. Once again, that's cardinalguide.com. Cardinalguide.com. Now, back to Finishing Well, brought to you by cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. In today's show, the riches of a glorious inheritance, which is really provoking to me. Like, what would be a glorious inheritance for my children from a standpoint of spiritually? Seriously, I mean, that's huge. But also, you know, we meet their needs financially, especially if they're brought into the process of executing my estate.
Sure. And so when I wrote the workbook, I wanted to make this something that you could read this and you really could get something that you're going to use. So the first example that we went over, we came up and we justified in retirement having $25,000 of life insurance, of permanent life insurance that's going to be in force when you pass away. And this is a minimum. You can take any of the numbers in the book and just multiply them by four if you wanted $100,000 worth of life insurance.
Right.
So we got four examples in the book that we give specifically, and each example gives a female age 55 and a female age 70. And the men are going to be a little bit more, not a lot more, but more. But we use the female rates, and then the real differentiator, because you're going to want to buy a policy like this first example if you can qualify health-wise, okay? Because the life insurance company is going to check you out, and a lot of folks will use that as a, oh, I can't get life insurance. I've got this illness or that illness, or somebody told me I couldn't get it. My brother-in-law used to sell life insurance. He said, no way you're ever going to get it. I can just tell you, we can cover you on $25,000 worth of life insurance regardless of your illnesses. And it's just, you're going to fall if you have severe illnesses in this example three. But to go over the first example, you're going to go through full underwriting. You don't necessarily need to have excellent health or even great health. You just need to have good health or moderately good health, where whatever you got wrong with you is pretty much under control. It's not something that just came up. And we even have examples of what full underwriting means, and we have an example of a whole application and all the questions they're going to ask you. But in this example, a 55-year-old female can get $25,000 worth of life insurance for a premium of $488.
A year.
A year.
Right.
So that would be roughly $500 a year. And that premium is for the rest of her life. So she's going to need to pay the premium. There's ways we can make this premium stop after 10 years. It's going to be paying more. There's a whole lot of variances, but we just tried to keep this as simple as we could. A little less than $500 a year, 55-year-old female buys a $25,000 policy. A 70-year-old female, the same $25,000 worth of life insurance, $1,079 a year. Or if you broke that down by the month, about $80 a month.
Right. Still less than
$90 a month. No, $90 a month. And so let's just take a look at that for a second. Let's say you lived to 90. So if we're going to get kind of technical about this and practical, this 70-year-old that lives to 90.
So again, since you had described it as a permanent life insurance policy, meaning this isn't term, like it's not going to go up. That premium that you're talking about, $1,000 a month, is going to stay
$1,000
a year. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Let's clarify that. $90 a month, about $1,070. That $90 a month is going to stay in.
It's never going to go up. It can't. It's guaranteed.
Okay.
Okay. All the premiums that are quoted in here in this book, they're for whole life insurance. There's a guarantee from the insurance company that they'll never go up.
So. Wow. So like you said, okay, getting back to our 90-year-old.
So we got this person that bought it at age 70 for $1,079 a year, $90 a month. They live to 90, and then they die. They've paid into it for 20 years. I mean, granted, this is a person who's living 20 years, and the insurance company's paying off $25,000. And granted, they paid in a little over $20,000 in total over all those years. So the insurance company has made some money on those people. Probably not a lot, because they've made a little interest on investing their money, but they paid in 20, 21, 22, and then their beneficiaries have collected 25.
Right.
Okay. But then we take the person who dies at 80, the insurance company's lost money on them. Okay. I mean, this stuff is a good deal. And let's take the person that buys this thing, pays 90 a month, and they're gone at 76 or 74. I mean, it really doesn't matter to you whether you're making money or losing money. What you're doing is, by buying this, paying it, building it into your budget, you're guaranteeing that your beneficiary, or probably your children or your surviving spouse, is going to collect an immediate check for $25,000, which they're going to very much need. Okay? If we take the 55-year-old, we're on the same policy where we're going to ask you some questions about your health. And this person, those 55, lived to 90, so they had the policy for 35 years. 35 years of $500 a year is about $17,000 or so. This has clearly been a good investment for them, because there's a $25,000 policy, and this is on a person that's lived to 90. Okay, let's jump to example two. So why would we want to buy a policy under example two? Okay. Where under example two, this 55-year-old female buys the same amount of insurance for $744 a year, or a 70-year-old person buys this same policy for $1,442 a year. So why would you want to pay $1,442 a year for something you could get for $1,079? Why would you think?
My health.
Very good. So we've got about 15 of these policies, and they're not all exactly this price, but they're pretty close, okay? I mean, they're just somewhere in the zone. Say, why do you need 15 of these? Why can't you just have one? They all have different questions that they ask you about their health, and we know which ones are going to handle certain things in which way, okay? So we got all the people that have diabetes, for instance, okay? And then they got diabetes. You got all your numbers with diabetes. And you got whether you're type 1 or type 2. And then you got whether you take so many units of insulin. And you got an A1C number. We know all that stuff. And we know how these different 15 insurance companies are going to react to diabetes. And they're going to react to that. How well it's under control. Bottom line is if diabetes is all you got, or you got diabetes with high blood pressure, and some other things going on, we just know which companies to put you with. And so you can get with this example two policy, whereas you might not be able to get example one policy. Okay, so this rate, if you've got diabetes and it's well under control and it's type two primarily, you probably can get this example one policy. I mean, because they're, so I want to go back to that. But we're going to put you where we can get you the best rate and have it guaranteed, okay?
Yeah, an interesting thing that, you know, never forget when I was diagnosed is, you know, the doctor's very first words to me when he came in after reading my blood test was, "Robbie, how's your life insurance?" I was at the time I was in my 40s, and I was like, why would you ask me such a question? But he understood something, right?
Yeah.
He
understood that people are going to – he's had more than one client come back to him that just got declined or rated on their life insurance. And they've come back to him, and they've said – you know, it came out of this medical record, and the life insurance company told me that we based my premium, or they declined me based upon what you have, and it was over the diabetes, okay? And your numbers were probably a little bit out of control, and so he was just alerting you, okay, ding, 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 we got a problem with diabetes.
Yeah, and
we got a problem with heart trouble. We got a trouble with cancer in your past, okay?
Which is still a wake-up call to, guess what, Robbie, you ain't living forever.
Yeah, well, sure it is.
So unless Jesus comes back. And so, you know, what do you have in place to take care of your family? Okay. It was interestingly a wake-up call because there you go.
Well, and so just because you have these things or you have had these things doesn't mean you can't get this stuff, okay? You can't get example one. But what I'm saying is if you've got some issues with them or they've been recent, you're probably going to be over on example two. So you pay a little bit more, but you're going to get a coverage. Example three, we write people with kidney dialysis all the time on example three, okay? People with active cancer right now. And you say, well, how can you write life insurance on somebody who has that illnesses? We absolutely can do this. We can do it with several different companies. We have one in particular that we like the most. And this same 55-year-old female, it's now $1,059 a year. And the 70-year-old female is $2,046 a year. And this policy has a catch. The catch is if you die during the first 2 years, it only returns your premium plus interest to your beneficiary. So, but it's still a benefit, and they're going to give you all the money back to your beneficiary that you put in this. But you make it to the 25th month, this policy pays out its full $25,000 just like anything else. We have lots of people that purchase these policies from us. And I want to go over the fourth example, which is just really a way to buy this with a single premium. So we have a thing called single premium whole life, same $25,000 worth of life insurance, but instead of paying premiums over your whole life, the 55-year-old female pays a one-time premium of $10,593, and it's paid up for life, $25,000 a death benefit. And the 70-year-old female pays $15,432. So there's a way to buy a $25,000 policy with a single payment. You can buy a $100,000 policy, the same numbers, you just need to multiply everything times four.
And how cool is that? I mean, you know, if you wonder the math on that, you go, well, wait a minute now. So, you know, if you're 70 and you multiply this times four, $100,000 worth of life insurance, and you're paying out 60 grand, it seems like you're going to make 40 on it no matter how long you live.
Yeah, well, you actually, your beneficiaries are.
Well, you went and stole my thought.
Well, I always point that out when people start using the I word. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. Well, actually, unfortunately, you're not going to get it. Okay. And I might not also be here to watch the movie. But this is for your family.
It is. It really is. And it's nice to know that, you know, you've got investments. And you know, ways to be generous with the people that you love.
Yeah.
It'll just like, you know, God does that. So this is another adventure on today's Finishing Well. We want to mention, of course, that you can go to cardinalguide.com and, of course, purchase the entire book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. Certified financial planner Hans Scheil, you know, the resources are there because you have a heart to teach us stuff because it's complicated.
It is. Very much so. It's not complicated to me anymore.
Well,
but it is complicated to my clients.
We're getting it less complicated as we go through this. Thank you, Hans.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.